spent much time this morning with my mouth open wide, asking God to sanctify my lips, my tongue, and the words that come from my mouth.
Do you want them?
No.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. Hello. Today I'd like to share part two of a message that we started recently on surrendering to God. Part one was just one of the keys to surrendering to God, and that key was humility. We shared about the deep humility of God Almighty that he himself demonstrated in Christ, that which he asks us to imitate, and the knowledge that of ourselves we can do nothing without God, apart from accepting our deep need of him, knowing that he alone is worthy of the surrender of our whole heart and our whole life. Jesus said in John 6:63, "The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life." Let's ask God to impart his word to us now and to open our hearts to receive spiritual revelation from him today. Come, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. Immerse us in the Father's love as we rest our restless hearts in you. Loving Heavenly Father, you are so wonderful. You mean everything to us, Lord. There is no one who loves us the way that you do. No one in this world can fill us with such love, such joy, and such peace as you have. Your love is eternal, steadfast and immeasurable. It is a love that never fails. We open our hearts to you today, Lord, to receive all that your precious Holy Spirit has for us, that we may walk more and more in the knowledge of your beautiful Son, Jesus, and his wonderful love, so that the world may see you and know that you live. In Jesus' name, amen. Does anyone here want to walk in more of God than they currently are?
Yes.
It's what we just sang. I want more of you, God. And yet he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ, and yet the hunger in our hearts is to want more. We all know there's more depth in prayer, more intimate knowing and enjoyment of fellowship with God than we currently experience. And responding to that desire within us to seek God in the secret place of his presence more than anything else is key to our surrender. And there's something much higher and greater than anything else that will help us to yield to God in the way he desires. And that is a deep, intimate knowing of God's love revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Love is the catalyst for our surrender. A heart that truly knows God's love is one that will respond in love and obedience to God and have his authority in their life. Isn't that what we all want? I know that I do, and I pray that we all do too. Last time in part one, we saw that through the word, God initiates and sustains everything that is good in our lives, both naturally and spiritually, which is why he is so worthy of our heart's surrender. I won't repeat them here, but all the scripture references are available in the previous talk online. We identified through the scriptures that it takes God to know God. The Father draws us to Jesus by the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is the only way to the Father. It takes God to have faith, to believe in him. Jesus is the originator and the perfecter of that faith. And we can be sure that what he begins, he will carry on to completion. It takes God to worship God. We can only worship God in spirit and in truth. And it is the Holy Spirit in us who cries out, "Abba, Father," the most intimate term, meaning daddy or papa. It takes God to make Jesus Lord of our lives. It is only by the Holy Spirit that we can say, "Jesus is Lord." And it takes God to love God and to love one another. And it is this love of God that we are going to focus on today. I know that we could spend an eternity just scratching the surface of this one subject, but as we only have a few moments, let's see what God wants to reveal to us now. Oh Lord, open our hearts to your living word, we pray. We touched on this scripture last time, but let's read it again. If you would turn to me, to Philippians 2, verses 1 and 2. This says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Our English language can be rather limited at times, and unfortunately doesn't do the word love justice. There are basically four types of love in the Greek language, but only one we're going to concentrate on today, which is the highest form of love that takes God's word and the Holy Spirit to fully understand it. And that is the Greek word agape. It is unconditional love, God's love, which is completely selfless and sacrificial. The others are philia, beneficial love, warm affection, such as strong friendship with best friends, storge, family love and devotion, father, daughter, brother, sister, husband, wife, and eros, physical love between a husband and wife. What we need to grasp hold of and understand is that God's agape love is totally independent of us and our behaviour. It is not performance-based. That is a massive statement which we need to believe and receive in our hearts, because it is the truth. In this world, in our original state that we were born into, we didn't even want to know God. Romans 8:7 says that the carnal mind is enmity towards God. That means hostile. So apart from God drawing us and leading us to him, wooing us with his love and kindness, we would be lost forever. So God had to make a way for us to know his love. And that way is Jesus. It says in Revelation 13:9 that the Lamb of God, who we know to be Jesus, was slain from the creation of the world. The plan for our redemption, to buy us back and rescue us from the kingdom of darkness, was already in place even before mankind sinned. While we were still in that hopeless and unclean state, God sacrificed his very best for us, his beloved son, Jesus. Romans 5:8 says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God, don't you just love all the but gods in the Bible? I do. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for you and for me. This so clearly shows us that God's love is not based on our performance one iota. Jesus declares God's love in one of the most famous passages in the Bible that I'm sure we can all recite, John 3:16. It is the true gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world, and you can put your name in there, that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The Apostle John also reveals God's love in 2 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. 2 John 4:7 says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. They are such beautiful scriptures, don't you think? God's love is born out in our lives as the fruit of the Holy Spirit matures in us, and love is the fruit from which all others flow. Galatians 5:22 describes the fruit of the Spirit as love, joy, peace, patience. Now, we're not so keen on that one, but really it's only trusting God for a long time, which is what we all attempt to do. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. One version, instead of self-control, says strength of Spirit, which comes from the Lordship of Christ. I like that. As we said before, we can never take credit for the love we have and show to others. God loved us before we were even capable of loving him. And we only love others because of what he has done in our lives. God isn't after what we can do for him. It's all about what we can do in deep fellowship with him. He's not about fixing us or modifying our behavior, although that will come from the inside out when we surrender to him. He's all about having us completely and wholeheartedly. Jesus paid the ultimate price by giving his life to restore us to his Father, and now our Father. Our Heavenly Father absolutely delights in fathering us. Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. And he will rejoice over you with singing." Isn't that beautiful? As a born-again believer, God has taken all your sins and removed them by the blood of his beloved Son, Jesus. Another famous Psalm, 139, says, "As far as east is from west, so far has he removed your transgressions." Think about this. There is no fixed point between east and west, as there is between north and south. They are completely gone. He has not only forgiven all your sin, past, present, and future, but will also remove, if you yield to him, all the emotional guilt and shame that goes along with it, so that you can be completely set free to live a righteous life in Christ. Because the word tells us that you, as a born-again believer, are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Think about that. God is all about being with his people in restored, unhindered fellowship. In Christ, there is no condemnation, only the freedom to live righteously for God. Romans 8:1 says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And 1 John 3:20 says, when we know we belong to the truth, we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts and knows everything. So even though we are totally forgiven by God when we believe, sometimes it can take a while for us to receive that forgiveness in its totality and to be able to forgive ourselves. Our hearts can still condemn us. It can be a false sense of pride that makes us believe we're not worthy of God's forgiveness and hold on to the things that we should let go of, including guilt and shame. But who are we to say that what Jesus did on the cross wasn't enough for us? Do we need to do something to add to that? No, we do not. Psalm 23 says that the Lord restores our soul. That's our mind, our will, and our emotions. I personally experienced that emotional freedom from guilt associated with the things that I had done wrong in the past when God gave me a revelation of his love, which led me to know that I am totally justified through Jesus. Justified, just as if I'd never sinned. It changed my life. And God longs for us to walk in the freedom that Jesus brings. We all know that who the Son sets free is free indeed. I'd like to share with you something about Charles Finney. He was a lawyer who became a 19th century revivalist. It's concerning a revelation he received of justification by faith following a baptism of the Holy Spirit one evening. He called the experience a pouring out on him of God's liquid love. He says, in this state, I was taught the doctrine of justification by faith as a present experience. That doctrine had never taken any such possession of my mind that I had ever viewed it distinctly as a fundamental doctrine of the gospel. Indeed, I did not know what it meant at all in the proper sense. But I could now see and understand what was meant by the passage in Romans 5:1. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I could see that at the moment I believed, all sense of condemnation had entirely dropped out of my mind, and from that moment I could not feel a sense of guilt or condemnation by any effort that I could make. My sense of guilt was gone. My sins were gone, and I do not think I felt any more sense of guilt than if I never had sinned. Wow. That is what a revelation of God's love by the Holy Spirit can do in us. What a joy to be able to walk in such freedom. Lord, I pray that such revelations will become personal and real to each one of us, as we cannot live off of someone else's revelation. It needs to become a reality and an acceptance in our own lives. Job in chapter 42 verse 5 said to God at the end of their long discourse, my eyes had heard of you, but now my ears have seen you. How we need those spiritual eyes of faith to see and experience God's love. God is looking for whole hearts to love him. Our hearts are completely safe in his hands. But are we willing to fully supply our hearts so that we can truly fellowship with him and allow him to know us? But God can't and won't make us love him or surrender our whole hearts to him. That's not love. As much as he loves us, we still have free will, and it's still our choice. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, our Heavenly Father says, "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life." God tells us to choose life and to choose him above all others. And without doubt, he always, always knows what's best for us. Now for me to share with you my personal story. Many years ago, about 12 years after I was born again, God gave me a revelation of his love that again changed my life. Before that, even though I was definitely born again, after the first 2 years of being on fire for God, it was like I had one foot on and one foot off the road. God kept giving me Deuteronomy 6:5 to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. But I just knew that I didn't. I was afraid of what God would do with me if I gave myself totally to him. But it was that revelation of his love that enabled me to want to give myself wholeheartedly to him. Because I just knew beyond any shadow of a doubt that I could trust him. The upshot during that time of about 6 months of God ministering to me and through me to others, where I learned so much more than they did, was that he so very graciously revealed that I had an idol in my life that was preventing me from loving him fully. So I repented of that. At the same time, he also revealed to me so clearly through a devotional I was reading that he didn't love Billy Graham or Mother Teresa or anyone else who I thought more worthy more than he loved me. He doesn't love me because I'm lovely, because I'm not, but because he is love. He can't do anything else. And he never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His love is flowing full force towards us all of the time. There is nothing I could do to make him love me more. And there is nothing I could do to make him love me less. And the thing that blew my mind was that his love didn't depend on me and what I could do for him. There is nothing I could ever do to earn or deserve God's love. We sang it again this morning. All he asks of us is, will we believe that and receive it? The result of that revelation of God's love was that I couldn't stop praising and worshipping him. I was drawn to my Bible like a magnet. I couldn't stop studying his word. I just wrote out scripture after scripture under different headings of love, grace, faith, peace, healing, all because God had so graciously showed me and I repented of having an idol in my life that was in the way of my fellowship with my Heavenly Father. And that idol for me was my lovely husband, Graham. It wasn't his fault, because I knew God had given to me as a wonderful gift. But 2 years after I was born again and on fire for Jesus, I met Graham 3 weeks after I was born again, actually. 2 years after I was born again and I was on fire for Jesus, Graham and I got married. And I had subconsciously and erroneously put him in God's place in my life, getting my love and my strength through him. But once I had given God back his rightful place in my life, my love for God was again released, and he showed me that everyone else would benefit so much more from his love flowing through me than my very imperfect and self-motivated love. Believing that my performance had something to do with how much God loved me was an area where my thinking was totally wrong and not in accordance with God's word. I can't emphasize this enough, that our performance is totally unrelated to God's love for us. As we said before, Romans 5:8 declares that God demonstrated his own love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In our sinful nature, we had absolutely nothing in or of ourselves to endear us to him. The Bible says that we only love because he first loved us. We can't love without God, because God is love, as 1 John 4:16 says. But that love is not of this world. It is a love that is so much higher than anything we can possibly imagine. And we can't determine it by our own life experiences or opinions. God's agape love is not what he chooses to do. Otherwise, he could choose not to. Nor does God's love bow to circumstances. It's who he is. And by his Holy Spirit, he has given us the same fruit of his love to be born in our hearts, so that loving God and one another is not what we choose to do, but is an outflow and an overflow of who we are in him, in Christ. We are called to be his love and to remain in the love of God that is residing in us. 1 John 4:16, 17 says, "So we have come to know and to believe the love God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected within us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world." So what does God's love look like if the world's kind of love is not it? God's love was demonstrated by Jesus. Jesus came to reveal the love of the Father, and he commands us to be his love to others. 1 Corinthians 13 says that if we can do many things, like speaking in tongues, having the gift of prophecy, fathoming all mysteries and all knowledge, and have a faith that can move mountains, and I'm sure we'd all be well satisfied if we had any of those, but if we have not God's love, the Bible says we are nothing. God's love is patient. God's love is kind. And love is because God is. When we come to that place of total surrender, his love in us does what it is. Every aspect of what love is was demonstrated in the life of Jesus. And he calls us to that same life in the power of his Holy Spirit. Study the Gospels and see God's love in action. It brings forgiveness, salvation, peace, joy, and health to our bodies and minds, and so much more. Because if love is something we can do rather than be, then by the same token, we can choose not to, and that's not love. Along with me, I really hope that you will take some time to meditate on this so that it goes deep into your spirit. God is asking us to be a demonstration of his love that he poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit when we're born again, that will witness to the glory of God in ours and others' lives. And as we know, the Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. I thank God for that, because I don't know where I would be without him. If you want this depth of fellowship with the Lord and this love to be shared abroad in your heart, let's pray together and ask the Holy Spirit to help us again to surrender our hearts and our lives wholeheartedly to him, and for God to reveal the extent of his love for us, because he is so worthy of everything that we are and everything we hope to be in him. Let's be the love that he has placed in us. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we really want to know the extent of this amazing love that you have for us. To know that this love isn't based on what we do, but on who you are and who we are in you. We bear our open hearts to you, Lord, and ask that you would reveal any hidden idols in there that might prevent your perfect love from flowing through us and fully captivating and consuming us. Undo us, Lord, with your love, so that we are lost to everything that this world has to offer. We surrender our hearts to you now and ask that you take us as we are, because we can come no other way. Make us all that you know we can be in your perfect love. In the words of Paul the Apostle in Ephesians 5:14, let me speak this prayer over you, and I pray that we will all take these words deep into our hearts and allow God to reveal this divine and everlasting love to us. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This whole Bible is a love letter from God's heart to ours. It is like holding his heart in our hands. As we watch this beautiful video and listen to these wonderful words from God, let this truth soak into your heart that God truly loves you with a love that can never perish and will never fail.
about to experience are true. They will change your life if you let them. For they come from the very heart of God. He loves you, and He is the Father you have been looking for all your life. This is His love letter to you. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. Before you were conceived, I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart, for it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son Jesus. For in Jesus my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you.
please.